This is episode 4 of the Awards Insider podcast. Thanks to TAFE New South Wales, Australia's leading provider of vocational education and training, for sponsoring our show. Today we're talking with Rosemary Gillespie from Proof Communications.
Welcome to Awards Insider, the podcast for business owners who don't just want to win an award, they want to craft a killer entry that captivates the hearts and minds of judges. Learn from experts who have won, judged, and worked with awards programs all over the country. We are your insider hosts, Chance Hanlon and Miranda Packer.
UK-born Rosemary began her love affair with copywriting, editing and proofreading when working at the BBC in London. Her copywriting career led her all around Europe and back to the UK and eventually to God's country, Australia, so I had to add that, where she decided to launch her own business in 2000. Rosemary works with services and professional businesses of all sizes, consulting on and writing winning award entries, tenders and proposals, as well as copywriting, editing and proofreading of articles, brochures, pitches, marketing material and annual reports. Despite having an amazing eye for detail in the written word, Rosemary admits that her 13-year-old identical twins can still successfully confuse her to which one is which. Welcome to the show and welcome to the HEV studio via Skype. Rosemary, welcome.
Thank you very much, Chance. A great pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for joining our show, Rosemary. And I have to say, I'm really intrigued. What is it that your twins get up to that still has you confused after 13 years? Do they do it deliberately or is it just kind of happen on an everyday basis?
Yeah, it's not every day, but it's more if I can't see their full faces, like if they're the back to me or they're side on, I'm not always sure which is which. And, you know, occasionally I'll refer to one by name and then they'll say, actually, Mum, I'm, and then they'll say the other one.
And do they have a bit of cheeky fun with that and deliberately say, I'm the other? And
they don't? I believe when they were in junior school, they did do a swap in their class. They didn't tell me for a long time afterwards. And it was going pretty well until one of them suddenly decided it was all too much and confessed to the teacher he wasn't who she thought he was.
I think every child kind of looks to people they know that are twins and think, gee, that'd be fun. I'd love to confuse people around me and try and play someone else for a day.
Well, as we start this interview process, we have an icebreaker question. What did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, I was thinking about this earlier and I was thinking what I wanted to be when I grew up was a librarian. I think sounds really kind of dull nowadays.
You're never too old, you know.
No. And I think that was just because where I grew up in the UK, we had our local library was in a very old historic building and it had a very distinctive but very pleasant smell about it. And whenever I went in there, just the smell of the books, just used to love going in there. And so And as someone who's always been an avid reader, I thought the idea of working in the library would suit me down to the ground.
Yeah, and
I
was going to say, I think whenever you watch movies too and there's a library featured in a movie, it's always a beautiful, old, exotic, you know, multi-level building filled with lots of beautiful old books. And I think that could almost cultivate the desire to become a librarian.
Very much. It was somewhere I used to go and do a lot of study because it was close to home, so it was convenient, you know, to pop in there on the way home from school or college. And I did actually sort of pursue it a little bit in my mid-teens. I was offered a Saturday job in the local library, but I ended up turning it down for another job that paid more money, which I sort of regretted.
Often the way. So obviously a love of reading and writing and words is evident in all the work that you do. So how did you actually get into writing award submissions?
Okay, well, when I started the business in 2000, I primarily started it to help companies write tenders and proposals when they're pitching for competitive bids, you know, like to local government, federal government, and so on. And because those documents are often quite long and complex, a couple of clients asked me to help them with their award submissions. So really, it's just grown over the years that I've been in business. And because there are a lot of similarities between the two types of work, there are lots of questions to be answered, there's often word counts and word limits, and you have to go into quite a lot of depth. You have to structure both types of documents, whether it's a tender or an award submission, to present that compelling argument. So there's a lot of overlap, and really, with hindsight, it was kind of a natural progression.
Why didn't I meet you 10 years ago when we started to different awards around the place? Because that all makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And look, one of the things that I, you know, often say is that you can run an amazing, incredible business, but that doesn't mean that you can actually, you know, sell or tell your story using written words. And often it makes a lot of sense to look outside your business and get someone whose skill set it is to actually do that for you. And that can mean the difference between winning and not winning. Your story is still the same, but you need to tell it with the right words in the right way.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that's why a lot of people ask for help, because apart from the fact they know that writing is not their forte, they're not able to get down on paper what they have in their head very well, because they don't know how to structure it. So they come to us for help with that. And secondly, they're often very time poor. They just don't have time. And some awards can take quite a lot of time to draft. And so they, for them, it's more time efficient to outsource the process to somebody like us.
And that probably leads on to our next question. What aspects of entering do you think is most businesses overlook or underestimate the importance, be it, you know, research or involving other people, and just the writing skills to put that award together?
And I think there's two things, Chance. I think the first thing is that they overlook the importance of evidence. And by that, I mean they make statements about their business success or their personal success, but they don't back that up with facts or figures. So, for example, if they're saying their business has increased its revenue or increased its number of customers, they often fail to actually set out an example of the increase, or it's a percentage, monetary value, or by a number. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing people overlook. The second thing is I think they overlook the amount of time involved in writing. Even if it's a very short award submission, 3 to 5 questions, they always have word limits, or word count limits. And so people overlook how long it can take to craft the points that they want to make within the time frame and within the word limits. If you had no word limits, some people would write pages and pages, of course. and so often one of the challenges we have often is distilling that information down so it's really succinct and clear and punchy and fits within the word limits. So time and evidence, I think, are the two things that people overlook the most.
Yeah, I think that sort of rings true with the conversations that I've had with people who sort of talk about entering but then don't actually do it, or start the process but don't finish it. It comes down to just not having the time, or starting it and then, as you say, not realising how much time goes into it. So if you were to do a submission of, say, around 8 questions, Rosemary, how long do you think the total submission might actually take you?
For us, with our experience, it would probably take us a day to a day and a half.
And so
time.
That's the sort of the research element, the writing, reviewing and finalisation?
Yeah, so in terms of research, the research that we do is directly with the person who wants to enter the award.
Yep.
So to make it as easy as possible for them, because they've come to us because they're time poor or they don't have the writing skills, we interview them by phone. And so we literally run through the questions and they just kind of do a big brain dump of all the things that they think might be useful or helpful to answer that question. And then in addition to that, we will ask them to provide us with any other information they may have about themselves or their business. Obviously, we'll look on their website and so on. But the research is fairly tight, as in the majority of it comes from the interview with the person entering the award. And then from there, we spend most of our time crafting the response. And then from there, we send it back to the client for their review. And at that point, people will often think of things they've forgotten about, things that they've missed or that they want to emphasise or change the emphasis on, like prioritise one thing over another. And then they'll let us know what their changes are. We incorporate those and do a final proofread.
Yeah.
So depending on the length of the award question, depending on the number of award questions, it's usually about a day to a day and a half. Longer awards obviously take longer.
Yeah, so it is quite a bit of time that you put into it, and that's for someone who is a professional at doing this and can probably, you know, cut down the workload and do it more efficiently than someone who might be doing it once a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Or never at all before.
Yeah. So, for example, Telstra have 2 big awards each year. They have the Telstra Business Award and the Telstra Business Women's Award. Telstra has a website for each of those awards, and the website will tell you that you need to put aside around 30 hours to complete the award. Now, the Telstra Awards are both the most comprehensive awards. They each have about 40 questions.
I entered probably 7 or 8 years ago now. Yeah. I reckon my total time let me just say this, I'm not that literate when it comes to writing submissions. I would have put out at least 5 full days in trying to get that together myself. And I was gobsmacked by it, but I thought, I might as well have a go. So,
yes, I agree. And that's what I found too. So what we do is we, in terms of when we're working on those very large awards, Telstra being the best example, the amount of time a client would need to put into that is about a day. And we spend probably 2 to 3 days of our own time working with them on that award, or working with them, interviewing them and drafting the award. So it reduces the amount of time they needed from 5 days to a day.
Wow. That's...
And with our experience, it takes us 2.5, 3 days.
Yeah, and that's time better spent on your business, I imagine, if you can get someone else to do that for you.
Yeah.
And I was just
going to say, the point that you made earlier about people starting an award submission and not completing it is purely down to time.
Yeah, and I think planning as well, and making sure that they actually start it. You know, as soon as the awards open, the awards are open for about 6 weeks. So there's plenty of time to, you know, get in there, read it, understand what you need to do, start thinking about it and put the submission together, and not just sort of leave it all to the last minute, which I think is almost human nature.
Absolutely.
If you've been to school or university, you've probably been there, done that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Rosemary, if a business owner wants help with writing their business award submission but they don't have the budget for professional assistance, who else or where else should they turn to for help?
First place to go if you need some help writing your award is to go to the website that's presenting the award. Most of those websites will have frequently asked questions, and some of them will have information to help you enter the award, to help you to think about drafting your award response. The Telstra Business Awards, for example, also runs a webinar, so people who enter that get notified of that. And I know, for example, too, that with a lot of the Business Chamber Awards, they will often have help as well. You can ring the Business Chamber and they'll provide some assistance over the phone with guidance on writing the award submission. And I know, too, with the Shoalhaven Awards, there's a workshop that you run for the awards. So there are a number of ways in which people can find support. If they're struggling, it's easy just to Google some articles as well about writing awards as well. So that's another avenue if the particular award you're thinking of entering doesn't have a lot of help on their website or doesn't run a webinar or a workshop.
Well, we don't run a webinar, but we do run a workshop. I did think about a webinar, but when I think because we are a local awards program, it actually makes sense for us to run it face-to-face.
So if our local business owners are struggling, so they can contact a business like yours and engage your services for editing or proofreading or whatever else they need help with?
They can, yeah. So there's sort of support that companies can get from webinars or workshops or from the websites. It's not that level of help. They're not going to write it for you. You have to do it yourself. But they will give you guidance, a big picture view of the things you need to think about when you're drafting your award.
Yeah. But if a business... Sorry, Rosemary.
I was just saying, if you need more practical help in terms of writing or you've written the award and you just want someone to review it or edit it or proofread it for you, then companies like mine are more than happy to help with that side of things.
Yep, that's great. And I guess you'd probably also offer a consultative service as well. Like if someone said, look, I just want to talk this through, can I have an hour of your time to just give me some advice on what I should consider, what I should include, how I should structure it? Is that something you can help with as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We did that last year for a company entering the Telstra Business Awards, and that worked really well for them. And then when they were shortlisted, we also gave them some help regarding the interview process, because companies and individuals that are shortlisted for those sorts of awards have to go for a formal interview. So, and that worked really well. And they were successful in their category. So that was a great win for everybody. And I find too that one of the challenges for individuals entering awards is that they're really, you know, they've got something to say. They've done really well in their businesses, but when it comes down to it, they don't like talking about themselves.
Yeah.
They like to talk about their business arm's length.
Oh, yeah. We've got some that love to talk about themselves.
But then we have got others. You know, we've got awards ambassadors this year, and one of them just submitted his first blog post for me this morning, and that's precisely what he said was originally a barrier to them entering, because he said, I went to sit down and start writing the submission and it just felt inherently wrong writing about how great I am. Mm. Now, you know, he certainly sees well beyond that now and recognises the value of entering for not just himself and his business but his whole team. But I imagine that, you know, the thought of blowing your own trumpet is probably a barrier to entry for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it is for sure.
Tell me, what are your top three tips for the business owners this year to create a killer entry?
Okay, well, the first tip would be to give yourself enough time.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I know that's easier said than done.
Yes.
So what I would do is I would make sure that you start by obviously reading start by reading the award entry and all the criteria and diarising a regular time in the weeks leading up to the award submission. So you make sure you've got time, even if it's just an hour twice a week, to do some drafting. When I'm starting off, in order to help save time, I would also recommend people look through the award submission very carefully and find things that they can do or delegate. For example, if you have to include your financials, get onto your accountant straight away or have a look at your online accounting system. If you need references or testimonials, get onto those straight away, because if you're asking other people to help, they might not be able to help immediately, and you don't want to leave those sorts of things to the last minute. So first of all, leave yourself enough time. Second point is, as I've mentioned before, and I can't emphasize how important this is, find evidence. If you're saying you're really great at something or your business has grown exponentially, whatever it might be, you've got to have some facts and figures to back that up. If you've saved your clients or customers time, money, or you've improved customer service, whatever it might be, give evidence, whether that's numbers, dollar value, percentages, or even testimonials. It doesn't matter. You've got to present something solid. And the third thing is, make sure you review your draft before you upload it so that it's free of typographical errors, grammatical errors. It makes sense. It makes it flows. It doesn't contradict itself in certain parts. That's something, again, we find clients will sometimes tell us one thing and then tell us something else a bit later on, and two don't add up. So make sure you leave yourself enough time for reviewing, just like you would if you were putting in a tender or a proposal or a business pitch, or you're writing a brochure, whatever it is, or your website copy. You always want to review that carefully before you release it out into the big bad world.
Rosemary, Director of Proof Communications, thank you so much for joining us in the HEV studio via Skype today.
My pleasure, and thank you very much for inviting me along. And good luck to everybody that's entering the awards.
Thanks, Rosemary, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, take care. Thanks
Cheers.
So much.
Thank you so much, Rosemary. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Awards Insider Podcast, Episode 4. And thanks to TAFE New South Wales, Australia's leading provider of vocational education and training, for sponsoring our show. It was great to hear from Rosemary and get her top tips on giving yourself enough time to prepare your awards application. Next time, we will be talking to PR extraordinaire Lisa Burling about the power of storytelling and how you should build your story into your awards entry.
This podcast is brought to you by the HEV Studio.